JV, it's the TV.
All righty. Let's open our books and our Bibles to Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. And verse 18. Proverbs 14:18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now, two things are set side by side there, or against each other, rather. That is the simple and the prudent. Really, my concern tonight is the first four words of that verse. The simple inherit folly. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we come to you once again tonight and are aware of how much power the Word of God packs because of the its livingness, its quickness, its being alive, and, Father, because of who wrote it and who empowers it. So we come to you tonight, Father, knowing that we are each guilty on many of these counts. We ask you to give us wisdom. It talks about the simple and the prudent. Father, may we all here tonight be prudent men and women in these things. Help us as we try to expound. May you enlighten our eyes about some things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs 14:18, a very rudimentary statement. Mainly my concern is the first four words. The simple inherit folly. Now, you understand a simple a couple of different ways. For instance, a good way in the respect that Romans 16 says that we're supposed to be wise concerning that which is good, but simple concerning evil. Okay, so that's a good way to be simple. Now, usually when the Bible talks about a simple man, it's talking about essentially a guy that, as far as I can see, is a guy that's naive. Somebody that's inexperienced, somebody that's unwise, somebody that's foolish. All right, he is set here in comparison and against the prudent who is crowned with knowledge, but the simple inherit folly. Second word I want to look at for real quick is an inheritance. Now, you know what happens there. It's something that you receive from your parents or grandparents when they die. It's something passed on to you, presumably by a family member. It doesn't have to be, I suppose. But in our case, that's what we're talking about. Now, there's a good number of seminar gurus and preachers that have made a living expounding on generational sins, okay? And they come to at this from Exodus 20, verse 5, to start anyway, which says something with respect to, there are some sins that are passed on, says Exodus, to the third and fourth generations, from father to son, and God visits to the third and fourth generations for those sins, okay? And so that's led some to go way off on a path, talk about generational sins and generational curses, and sometimes even generational demons. Now, my answer to that is Ezekiel 18, verses 19 and 20. And again, I'm not taking you there, but essentially, the verses then say in Ezekiel that a man is going to bear for his own sin. And a father's responsible for his. The son's not going to be punished for the father's. The son is going to be punished for his own. Whether it be the punishment for unrighteousness or the reward for righteousness, a generation speaks for itself. Now, with that said, there is a disturbing pattern that many of you maybe have noticed through your lifetime. That disturbing pattern is that generationally, alcoholism and drunkenness does seem to pass from generation to generation. Father to son to grandson, and so on. You may have noticed that same thing happens with drugs. Wife beaters often beget other wife beaters. Wives that marry a wife beater often beget daughters that grow up to marry wife beaters that produce more daughters that grow up and marry wife beaters. To generation after generation, it goes on and on. This applies to temperament. Some accuse their fathers essentially of being the cause for their bad temper and their bad character. This is often passed on through, like I said, crime, pedophilia, perversion, just all kinds of stuff it applies to. That has led some folks to say that it's genetic, okay? And fathers and sons and grandsons seem to wallow generation after generation in the same pigsty. And for one family, it might be drunkenness. For another family, it might be perversion or spousal abuse or some such thing like that. But most of us have noticed at one point or another that things do sometimes seem to run in families. Now, what the Bible teaches me is this, that sin is only genetic insofar as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? We are all born of the same mess. And our genes and chromosomes have been affected by sin. And I don't know about predispositions or anything else. I do know this. I know that when I sin, I am held responsible for it. I cannot blame my father's genes for my problems. That much I know from the Scriptures. My individual sins cannot be blamed on my father or my mother or my grandfather or my grandmother. If a wife beater begets a wife beater, it's not because of genes. It's because of behavior patterns that somebody learned. If a boy that has two daddies himself grows up and is gay, I hate that word, it's not because of genetics. It's because of something that he learned along the way and perhaps a seared conscience, right? But that's the way things are. Now, where I inherit mannerisms from my mom or my dad, or temperament from my mom or my dad, or certain attributes of character, I suppose, or features or some such thing like that from mom or dad, I'm not denying that that's the case, but I'm still responsible for my sin and my misbehavior, regardless of what my father did or what my father was. Now, we're obviously not talking here about a genetic predisposition to heart disease or male pattern baldness, God forbid, or, you know, some such thing like that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about sin and iniquity and transgression. And so you see here, regardless of what that's all been said, only to go back to the verse in Proverbs 14:18, which says, the simple do indeed inherit folly. Do indeed is in the Greek. But the simple do inherit folly. And so I want to preach to you for a while tonight on why the simple inherit folly. If it's not genetic, then why does stuff get passed from generation to generation? Why do you see sons and grandsons struggling with the same things that their mothers and grandfathers struggle with? And why do you see daughters and granddaughters struggle with the same thing that their mothers and grandmothers struggle with sometimes? And how it's passed on just generation to generation. I want to talk about that. And there are several things here. First of all, let me take you to Proverbs 14:18. And again, I point out to you that the two guys that are held in adverse aspects to one another here, the simple and the prudent. Notice 14:18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now go back to 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Look in 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Again, 13:16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. And one more, 18:15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Now there's something there where with the simple and the prudent being juxtaposed to each other, one thing continually said about the prudent is the fact that they deal with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. I want to say, first of all, one reason that the simple inherit folly is that they are not prudent. And part of that prudence is they do not act according to knowledge. They do not want to know. They are not wise. They are fools. They enjoy their folly. They would rather apparently be ignorant, but they're simply not prudent. Now, there's one other thing. Proverbs 14:15, one more time. Something else said there, Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word. They're just not very careful either. Now, folks, this goes well beyond generational booze or generational wife beating or unwanted pregnancies generation to generation. This generational folly is now standard procedure in society. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we are now several generations deep in this whole evolution, environmentalism, false science nonsense. The simple inherit folly. This generation today has inherited the folly of three or four generations before them who have continually pounded home this idea of the fact that we are the false fact that we came from a celestial mud puddle. But evolution. I just want to say, one reason the simple inherit folly is because they are not prudent. They're not wise, they're not knowledgeable, and they're not very careful. But they're simply not prudent. We're now several generations deep in our country to this welfare mentality, this sense of entitlement where because I am this race or ethnicity or some such thing, I therefore deserve something from you nasty old white guys. I just want to say, those folks inherit folly generation to generation, and it's not getting any better. And the reason why is because they simply are not prudent. You have a preoccupation with education, where nowadays we are sending our what generation? How many deep? I'm not sure. Off to public schools to be brainwashed and propagandized in all manner of things. And still to this hour, I still hear repeated, you can't make it in life without a college education. Really. I can name you many examples that don't have a college education. Now, if you go to college and get an education, praise God for it. That's what God wants you to do. I'm just saying, there is a certain simplistic mindset where somebody just believes what they're told, no matter what, and they're ignorant. They believe every word it says there. Now, news for you. I'm going to risk the fur hitting the fan here. There is nobody living today that's negatively affected because their great-great-grandfather was a slave. And if you say that they are, what they are is simple. The simple inherit folly. Got news for you. There is nobody ill-treated and in a bad way today because there's those dirty, stinking white men broke treaties with Indians. It's 150 years after all that stuff happened. I'm sorry, you are not affected by that other than the fact that you're simple and foolish and you inherit folly because you're ignorant and refuse to take a victory when somebody hands one to you. Ladies and gentlemen, they just don't know. The simple just don't know. They don't want to know. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the victory that comes in Christ. They don't know the liberty that comes with having the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I just want to say, first of all, that the simple inherit folly simply because they're not prudent. Now, it gets a little deeper here because I'll say, secondly, I don't have a singular verse for you, but in general, I'll tell you the second reason. The second reason that the simple inherit folly is bad decisions. A fifth or sixth generation drunk, a fourth or fifth generation beaten wife, a third generation addict is not bound by genes and chromosomes and spiritual curses. That man, his or her shackles, his or her manacles are his bad decisions. Now, how many know of someone who had a bad marriage and that one entanglement with Jezebel, that one entanglement with that battle axe, led not to just another one, but another one after that? I mean, sometimes it's not just generation to generation. Sometimes it's one guy repeatedly making the same wrong bad decision over and over and over and over again. I can name you guys that have really bad choices in women, and you'd think after the first time they'd learn. But they didn't learn after the second or third time, apparently, either. They keep marrying the same kind of women. Who's to be surprised when their sons marry the same kind? I just want to say, one of the reasons that simple inherit folly is just good old down-home bad decisions. Very likely, gentlemen, is the fact that your son will make some of the very same mistakes that you made. Not because you passed something on chromosomally, but because he watched you make them. Yes, it's true. So, sir, your and ma'am, your decisions will be reflected very likely in your son's decisions and your daughter's decisions. And kid, if your mama and daddy were really bad at making decisions, you better figure out a way to make some good ones. And I have a good place for you to start. It's right here. And I'll tell you this, anytime your father or mother made a mess in something, it wasn't because of this. It was because they did something on their own. But the reason that the simple inherit folly is bad decisions. Now, there's something else I'd have you see. Look in Proverbs chapter 14. Don't have to venture very far away from our text here. Proverbs 14. And go down to verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. There's that prudent guy exercising understanding, right? But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Now that guy made a mistake because he moved in haste. Haste is hard to overcome. I mean, when you want a quick fix and you see the possible quick fix present itself, it's just really easy to go straight for the quick fix and make a hasty decision. I'd like to point you to another passage, 15:21. Then I'll tell you what it is. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Folly is joy. Here's a guy. In the first case, he simply moved in haste. In the second case, he's pursuing joy. Did you know that one of the reasons that the simple inherit folly is that they yield to their urges? Just because your flesh is urging you to do something doesn't mean you should. That's the reason your father got in a mess, and that's the reason that your grandfather got in a mess, and that's what will put you in a mess too if you will quit following your urges and use some prudence and have some patience and make some right decisions instead of some bad ones. You have the opportunity to break the chain of generational folly passed on from father to son to grandson and right on down the line. Look at another passage, Proverbs 7, real quick. I want to just see that when I'm studying the simple in his folly and the prudent in his wisdom, I get some light on the reason that the simple inherit folly, and it's passed on from generation to generation. Sometimes 5 and 6 and 7 generations deep, with the chain never being broken. But it's not chromosomal. It's not genetic. It's all about choices. It really, really is. Look in Proverbs 7 and verse 7. You're familiar with this young fella. Behold, among the simple ones, there he is, he's simple. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. That's the strange woman. That's the wicked woman. That's the old harlot, right? Well, this guy passes by her street corner. Why is he passing by her street corner? Because he's following his urges. It's just hard for a young man not to go see such a sight as such a wicked woman as that. He's following his urges. Now, you don't have to go very far in the Bible to find fellows following their urges, and I just want to say, that is a very good reason why the simple inherit folly generation to generation. If you need another verse, look in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. And don't we all know this is how sin works. Proverbs 5, 22. Again, in the context of a wicked woman from verse 15 down through verse 20, notice in verse 22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. This guy has fallen for something. You've seen adultery and womanizing passed on generation to generation. And there's a reason why. Because in the end, that lifestyle, that sin, is very binding. And after a while, that guy is wrapped up in the cords of his sins. But it all revolves around yielding to his urges. Now listen, folks. Russia and Germany's perpetual generational drinking problems are not chromosomal. I don't know how a prettier way to say this. The bastardization problem that we have in our cities and inner cities and now sometimes outer cities is not chromosomal. The United States of America's present perversion problem is not chromosomal. It revolves around yielding to fleshly urges. generation to generation to generation. Listen, Jesus Christ, foundational principle, let a man deny himself. Deny himself. That applies to temper. You see how many times a father has a flash and a violent temper that's passed on to his son and passed on to his grandson. Well, the father should have handled it. The father should have had the wherewithal and the power through Jesus Christ to stop yielding to that urge every time it raises its head. But even if the father didn't, the son can. And even if the son didn't, the grandson can. Covetousness. Combativeness. Contentiousness. Where you've known folks who, parents, a parent, who were just gnarly when it came to dealing with folks and being crossways, and then they pass it on to their kids. Well, mom or pop or whoever had it should have gotten it straight. They should not have continued to yield to those urges. But I tell you what, the son doesn't have to be that way. Nor does the daughter, nor the grandson, nor the granddaughter. This goes on and on, whether it be laziness or discouragement. And sometimes, you know, folks, you use their parents as an excuse for being unstable mentally or emotionally. And I know that there's probably some genetic predispositions in there somewhere. But the fact of the matter is, most often than not, I am not locked into being how my father was, or how my mother was. Now again, I may have the physical stature that I inherited chromosomally from my mother or my father. I may have predispositions of personality or appearance that obviously that my mother or father passed on to me. But when it comes to sin and iniquity, I don't have to follow their pattern. If pills and booze and quitting were my dad's answer, it's very likely to be the son's answer, too. When we went back to Texas this last, whenever it was, September, for my grandmother's funeral, Marcy and I and the kids and Kim went down to her house just to look around. Been a while since we've been there. There was a big wind that came through, and we just hadn't seen it for a long time. Well, my cousin lives across the street from her, across the road from her. And we drove up down there and drove around behind my grand's house and noticed there was a bunch of trucks and stuff up by my cousin's. Well, we pulled down there just to say, you know, it was a strange truck to them. So we pulled down there to say, hey, it's us. We just were driving in to just see what was going on. And you have all these guys. There's a circle of about 15 guys there. And there's a family of men that I grew up with. I played football with one of those guys. He's my age. We rode back and forth to school. We hauled hay together one summer. And the rest of his clan, the Armstrong clan, well, they were all down there at my cousin Craig's, and they were all sitting around eating and drinking beer. Well, I walked up into that circle, and there is one generation of guys, older generation of guys, my father's age, and they're all booze heads and drug addicts and womanizers and now divorced and just messed up like crazy. And then there's the second generation, the next generation of guys my age, guys that I played ball with, guys that, you know, I hauled hay with all one summer back when we were 17 years old. And I'm looking at them. Here are all these wizened, leathery, pot-bellied old rednecks. And their lives are just a wreck. They're drunks. None of them are married anymore. They got kids all over the country. I don't know what all else, but drug addictions, booze, depression, bipolar, whatever. And I'm sitting looking at two generations of men. And they have kids. I just want to say, what made that possible? Yielding to urges. Yielding to urges. There's something else that I would bring along the way here. Look in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. The simple inherit folly. It doesn't seem like their fault to some, because after all, they didn't ask for it to be this way. But it just seems like they keep getting hit, and so this addiction, this booze, this perverseness, this wife-beating seems to perpetuate from generation to generation, one to another, just passed down. It almost seems genetic. But the Bible says it's not. It's just not. But the simple do inherit it. And there are reasons that they inherit it. They inherit it because they're not prudent. They inherit it for no other reason than bad decisions and yielding to urges. I want to say, furthermore, Proverbs 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. This guy, back in verse 12, is haughty. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Somebody's going to come to this guy and try to help him, try to give him some counsel, and he ain't interested. Right? His heart is haughty, and so he has an answer for that matter before he even hears it. Now, I'll show you the sister verse. Look in Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. Notice what the Lord's saying here in verse 29. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. What did the simple turn away from? The simple turned away from the reproof and the counsel of verse 30. Before they even heard it, or even after they heard it, they still didn't yield to it. So in verse 32, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, but more importantly, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The reason the simple inherit folly is because nobody can tell them anything. Now they'll believe foolish counsel, they'll believe the world, they'll believe their ungodly friends when they give them counsel, but they will not hear God. They will answer a godly witness to them, a godly counselor, before they even hear it, because they're simple, and the simple inherit folly for that reason. Leads to bad decisions. Are y'all being beaten to death? Gosh, y'all are kind of quiet tonight. Look at another one here. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. You ever thought about why the simple inherit folly? Ever wonder why it seems like that just generation to generation, first on a nationwide basis, we're now several generations deep into this evolutionary brainwash. We're now many generations deep into thinking that certain ethnicities have certain entitlements because of things that have happened in the past. And we're 150 years from slavery, 150 years from broken Indian treaties, and yet still you have a generation that still says, oh, we read something the other day that somebody's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. from slavery. So, four generations at least ago, Grandpappy was a slave, and so I've got post-traumatic stress disorder. Something tells me that that's a little bit too far off. Well, there's this. Proverbs 26, go down to verse 11. Proverbs 26, 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. There's folly again. I don't want to turn anybody's stomach. Why does a dog return to his vomit? Oh, they do, don't they? Next time, before you let Fifi lick you on the lips, I want you to think about what those dogs are willing to eat. Well, why does a dog return to his vomit? I reckon. Because he likes it. A man vomits and gets away from it as quick as possible. But a dog goes back to it. Why? I guess he likes it. For a sister verse, look in Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1:22. Excuse me. Got a frog. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? I'll tell you why the simple inherit folly. They love it. They love their sin. Now, they may profess not to love it, but they don't hate it enough to do the right thing to get away from it, or receive counsel from the God that will deliver them from it. And so for that reason, they stay in the same rut, and they do so because actually they love it. Have you ever known a marriage situation where people fight to the point of blood, but you figure out later they're happier fighting than not? They'd rather fight than get along. There are people like that. Ever met somebody that you thought was happy or unhappy than happy? If that makes any sense. Brother, I'm telling you something. Sin messes you up. You'll wind up enjoying the bondage. You wind up enjoying the vomit. Now, dogs do that. Are you a dog? So I just want to say, one reason that the simple inherit folly is he loves his sin. He likes it. There's something else here. Proverbs 7 again and Proverbs 9 as well. Proverbs 7, Proverbs 9. Why do the simple inherit folly? Proverbs 7, 7. Behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Okay, he's going to go by this wicked woman's house. Then notice Proverbs 9, and notice the Lord brings this woman up again in verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing. For she setteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Well, she is a foolish woman. She's clamorous. She is simple. Meanwhile, she's appealing to the simple. See, why do the simple inherit folly? Because birds of a feather flock together. Both those folks are simple. They're going to get in trouble together. I walked up down there at my cousin's place across from my grandmother's after the funeral. Walked up down there, and there's a circle of, I don't know, 15 guys, some of which I'd played ball with and hauled hay with and worked beside, some of which were a generation older than me, and they're all sitting around sporting their pot bellies, drinking their booze. They're all sitting there in misery. Some of them are drug addicts. Some of them are drunks. They've all got their chaws and their cigarettes going. And I'm sitting there looking at them. And again, it's one thing to see somebody my father's age that's messed up his life and going on. But there are guys sitting in that circle that are my age, that I knew when I was 17 and haven't seen since. And I was sitting there thinking, birds of a feather flock together. What a mess, man. You ever notice that folks that are troubled seem to find each other, that they're never good for each other? Now, there are exceptions, of course, but ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons that the simple inherit folly is because they hang around with other simple people who are looking for trouble and who live in folly. I have one more thing to say. Look in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And notice verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. The simple and the prudent man are sitting there in the same spot in the road, looking down the road, and one sees the trouble come and gets out of the way, and one passes on and is punished. You know, I was standing there in that circle of guys that day in September, and I came to a conclusion. And I've come to that conclusion before in dealing with some folks, Christians and otherwise, that are in their sins and laboring and always reaping for one thing or another, always making bad decisions, just can't seem to keep the rail on the thing on the tracks. I made up my mind that one of the reasons that the simple inherit folly is that they're just resigned to it. They've just surrendered to failure. They're just gonna. It was what my dad did and what my granddad did, and so, you know, I'm just gonna keep on down this track. Whether it be about religion and being lost and not having any vision of heaven or the reality of the promises of God, or whether it be drunkenness or pornography or gambling or whatever else. It was good enough for Dad. It's good enough for me. They just resigned to it. They just surrendered to it. They're not fighting anything. They're not opposing it. They're just going with the flow. In that circle of men that I keep talking about, one of those guys sitting there is my age, again, Will, and he and I hauled hay together. We played ball together. We were both on the offensive line together. I saw him for the first time in, since 1979 at the funeral in September. We hadn't seen each other since. I didn't recognize him. I had to ask him who he was. He recognized me, and I didn't recognize him. That's because I'm still so young and look just like I did. And, you know, we talked a little bit, and then I went down there and saw he was there amongst that clan. I mean, if you walked into that clan, you'd know they were all kin because they all look alike. And like I said, you would know that you were in a pretty rough bunch. And they used to hunt deer on my dad's property, and you'd go down there to the deer camp sometimes two or three times during deer season, have supper with them or whatever. Dad hung out down there some. And I mean, there was some pretty gnarly stuff down there too. I'm using the word gnarly tonight for some reason a lot. But, you know, it was a rough bunch. I mean, talk about, you know, all the cussing, all the pornography, all the beer, and all the stuff that goes on when a bunch of lost men get together that don't have much for scruples. Well, all I can say is that seems to have passed on from generation to generation with one exception. My friend, they lived a mile from us down the road. The guy that I hauled hay with and ran to school with and all those sort of things, played ball with, his father was the one singular Armstrong that I know of that got saved. I mean, when Will Jr. was my age. He is my age. When Will Sr. got saved, he turned it around. And when he went to the deer camp, they started hiding beer and hiding the bad magazines because he would lay into them. He died of Alzheimer's, or with Alzheimer's anyway, not that long after I graduated high school. But I guess what I'm sitting there thinking, as I stood and I kind of went around, shook hands with the guys that I recognized and didn't recognize some, hey, how are you? Here I am in my suit and tie, having just come from church or the funeral, whatever it was, and here are these guys all sitting around with their cigarettes and their snuff and their, beer and stuff. And I'm standing there in a suit and tie, shaking hands with these guys, and it's just a little weird. But my thought was, here are these guys, generationally, here are two, maybe even three generations of Armstrongs who are all locked down in the same trap. This folly has passed on from father to son. And here are two or three generations sitting around, and with one exception that I know, who trusted Jesus Christ and lived the book. Those guys are all the same. But Will Jr.'s dad, was something different. The simple inherit folly. Are you going to? I don't know. Are you going to? My dad used to say, I'm not sure that he understood the import of it spiritually, but my dad used to say that a man ought to be able to raise a better son than he was himself. And whether or not dad did or not, I guess, remains to be seen. But it's something for you to think about. And sons, kids, it's something for you to think about too. Next time you're ready to blame your father or your mother for your sins or your failures, maybe you should consider that you should learn from their sins and failures and be a better man or a better woman than they are. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to you here tonight, and I believe it's a great truth that indeed the simple inherit folly. We know a little bit more now about why. We know that we can't blame our genes. Father, I pray that you'd give us the wherewithal to deal with these things in our lives. Father, I pray that you might give us the grace and willingness not to blame somebody else for our failures. I know that there are things that are passed on from parents to children, and sometimes some of those things can't be helped, but we're not really talking about high blood pressure and a tendency towards diabetes here. We're talking about spiritual matters of sin and righteousness. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to think of these things ourselves. Help us not to be among the simple that inherit folly. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed, eyes closed here for just a little while. Give you an opportunity to come tonight. The Lord spoke to your heart. Trying to rush these off the altar by any stretch. Why don't you look this way? We're going to sing number 393. Altar's still open. I hope you'll come if you're still inclined. Hope you'll stay if you're down here and still need some more time. No problem at all. 393. Being here all day and coming back tonight. Thank you for doing that. Get home safely tonight. If it's snowing yet, I'm not sure. But John Perlinger, would you dismiss us, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for a good day here. I'm thankful for safety on the road. We pray that you bless this week here. Help us to work out what we learned today. Help us to be wise, not simple, and prudent. Father, we thank you for salvation and pray that we can be a light in the world this week. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody.